The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation of Hearts Grants is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Doctors Hospital, Pinder Tile, Popeyes, and Prince Masters.
The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio. Howard Glenn, your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Monday, January 6, 2025. This is a significant day for much as you're on your lunch break and you are ready to throw your hands, holy hands up yesterday in church. Say, Lord, I can fast now. Those hands are wrapped around that hot dog with extra onions or whatever y'all has put on it, sauerkraut or whatever you put on it. Now you're about to slide in your mouth. Hey, listen, you said you was going fast. I just want to be decent with you as I tell you your business. You said you was going fast. Take your time out. This is the beginning of the year. Do what you got to do and be able to ensure that you do so with sobriety and a very clear understanding that for us to be able to end strong, we get to start strong. I thank you guys for being able to tune in with us today. We can jam today and be able to talk about these things. Tomorrow, we're going to start our series. Today, we're going to just kind of do an outline as to exactly what it is and what your expectations can be. Before we do so, I got to shout out my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They got everything laid out for you. I said that at the beginning of the month, go get your insurance, get your car insurance, get those things taken care of if you're looking for that and looking for that to be done. And you're looking for something affordable. You want to be able to go down to AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They're located number 40 Road South, Blue Hill Road South, just east of the Golden Gate Shopping Plaza. You can be able to see them. Orange and black building is wrapped up. My good friend Ethric Bowe or Mr. Richardson will be more than happy to accommodate you in that kind of a space. All right. 341-1AFS, 341-1AFS. Got it, guys. Pick up your Guardian newspaper. All the information's in there. New era. New police chief promises to weed out bad apples. She promises to weed out bad apples. I'm excited about that. And I want to have let's take a couple of minutes to talk about what this kind of a concept and idea means as it relates to what our perception is, what the reality of what we've seen is, and what our desires are as it relates to our expectations for change. I want to take some time to talk about that and be able to do that with you guys. All right, Fadana says that I left office with integrity intact. That's the second person who says that. You know, from a biblical standpoint, we know that you ain't supposed to blow your own trumpet. We know that a proud look is one of the things that we continue to be able to wrestle with as men. We know that, like we said on Friday, having a conversation, that seed of pride blossoms into a tree of ego. And the branches thereof deceives us. That's not bringing any shade to anyone. So you got to be able to have this kind of a conversation. If you have to say you left with your integrity intact without someone being able to make that acclamation for you, it leaves a lot of questions in my head. I just want to be able to be decent with you. And you're not the first person to do that. You're not the first time. This is not the first time I've said this. when we are looking for restitution, when we're looking for this kind of a posture and position that people could be able to say, yeah, man, you know what? He did well. You can't say it yourself. You got to let people say that for you. Let your light so shine. The sun don't got to say it's hot. My father used to say, no one, you ain't never got to say you was a man. You ever see these people that say, well, I was a man? It sounds like you're trying to convince yourself. Everyone around you should be able to identify the commitment in you to be able to indicate and separate you from the pack. No. This fella is a real man. Yeah. He's not like most fellas who claim to be man and move away from responsibility and maturity. This fella's just for the purposes of you being able to say that you left with your integrity intact. You ain't got to say that. You ain't got to say that. You ain't got to say that. I got a couple of texts about an appointment to the UK. They ain't tell me who it is or who got the appointment or whatever the case may be, but I got a couple of texts about the appointment to the UK. I look through it and see exactly what's what. The Prime Minister defends the decision on two deputy commissioners and a sewage leaks lead to closure of Montague Park, the beach out there. So let's talk about that, guys. The line's going to be wide open today, just as the beginning of this series that we actually dubbed and laid out. We talked about this. We talked about this kind of an idea of forgiveness. We talked about it. I laid it out and started to talk about this kind of an idea about what our expectations are as we move forward. What can we do? What should we do to be able to do that? So I dubbed this series The Path to Forgiveness, Healing from Anger, and Finding Peace. I've reached out to a few persons, and tomorrow we're going to have Ambassador Devin Rowe kick us off with that. So it's The Path to Forgiveness, Healing from Anger, and Finding Peace. That's what we're going to be talking about for the first few weeks. And I think that we got to be able to take that conversation. It's going to be a micro conversation that includes us as individuals so we can do some introspection. So we can look in deep within ourselves to make a determination whether or not we, what we're saying aligns with what we're doing. So we got to be able to do some introspection. And I think that that's important. For the time that you've taken for the beginning of the month, for all those who go to church and find themselves applying to, the things of faith in your church, those particular elements of alignment in your church, the wider body out here, I want to be able to have a conversation with them. And for those persons who don't necessarily, who ain't mad churchy, but still have faith and still be able to find themselves aligned with a particular regiment at the beginning of the year in preparation to be able to see the overflow that they're looking for in their lives throughout the year, I want to start it off like this with you. I think it's important. And I think you have at least gotten the rhythm of what my expectations are and really what my desires are in this particular space. So I want to talk about forgiveness. I want to talk about healing from anger. And then I still want to be able to talk about finding peace. And I think that that's important. And this ain't like the eternal peace, like rested peace. I think that this is being able to find a space where we could be able to be quiet our spirit, and still be able to find productivity. So these are the kind of conversations that I'm going to have with you. And I'm going to see if I can be able to get these guys to come on, persons to come on, and be able to lend to that kind of a conversation with you. So this is very important. I send a couple letters out to persons, and I just want to be able to give you a synopsis of what it is. It says that a part of the commitment of serving the audience here and a meaningful content that we are launching this particular series that's titled The Path to Forgiveness, Healing from Anger, and Finding Peace. Over the next few weeks, it seems to explore the multifaceted nature of forgiveness, particularly in the context of anger management and the emotional and spiritual healing it offers. We are seeking to include professionals like yourself, this is a person I sent it to, who bring a unique insight into the critical topic, specifically in these particular areas. One, pastoral leaders and counselors to provide biblical perspective on forgiveness, share scriptural guidance, and discuss the spiritual disciplines necessary for healing. Two, mental health professionals and psychologists to explore the psychological impact of anger and practical strategies for managing emotions and the science behind forgiveness as a tool for mental well-being. So I said that I started to talk to these particular persons about your expertise in the unseen realm and your ability to address the root causes and transformative power of forgiveness would be invaluable to our listeners. And I hope that it is. I hope that it is. I hope that you haven't put on the cloak of familiarity already. I hope that you haven't slid into this sort of an idea of repetition and what you would have done before. We being creatures of habit, we have a tendency to slide right back into the familiar and nestle ourselves into the comfort thereof. I think we got to do better than that. I think we have a responsibility to ourselves. I think we have a responsibility to our future to be able to do better than that. And I think it's time for us to be able to charge the atmosphere with more than just pessimism. I think if this is the proverbial quote-unquote violent, then we have to take this by force. We have to reclaim our space. We have to fight for this. And I want to talk to you about this fight. I want to talk to you about the steps necessary to be able to make this thing happen. All right, so I'm no professional in this particular capacity. I'm only convicted. And in my conviction, I'm reaching out that can help not only me, but all of us. Because I too, like I said, from a micro perspective, we're dealing with issues that are unresolved in ourselves for a long time. Many of us have forgotten about some of these issues. We forget why we're mad with people. But we're dealing with these issues. And for us to be able to blossom into the purpose that we've been called to, we got to be able to recognize this and deal with this accordingly. I want you guys to join me in conversation today. I'd love you to do so. And before I go to a break, I got to touch this. I got to be able to touch this just for a time and a half. I want to be able to shower Shanta Knowles, Commissioner of Police Shanta Knowles, and her capacity. I want to shower her with the accolades of everything, every aspiration that she had to climb to a position, to be identified in this position, to be the first woman in this position. And not just token, but really being able to give life to this. I want to be able to shower you with blessings and pray that the Father watches over you. But I want to be able to say to you that the country has been waiting for a softer touch for a long time. They've been waiting for conviction to step into a position and not just a rhythm of familiarity, not just a good old boys club. From perception alone, there is an expectation of change. I got to commend this administration, though the approach to doing it was peculiar. Though sometimes you could be able to take away a little bit of the glory associated with the ascent simply because of the tribulation that led to it. All of the speculations and the accusations and the allegations that led to it, to this shift, it could take away a little bit of the glory from you, Ms. Shanta. Ms. Shanta Knowles, Chief of Police. But I want to say to you that we are proud of you. We're proud. And many times, even when you get this particular position, just from the optics, to satisfy the desires of people. People out here screaming for something different. You give them something different, but it ain't necessarily the same. You are sitting in the position right now that we want to be able to say to you, congratulations, my dear. I pray to God that you do a marvelous job. I pray to God that you have more kahunas. Oh, God, I just want to be decent. More kahunas than many of the men that stood in this position, that we had greedy expectations, that hit us with casual conversation, that hit us with all sorts of words without action. We pray to God that you give us action, that you not only weed out the bad apples, because you can't weed apples, you just pick them, but you get to the root, oh God, you get to the root of corruption in the force. These alleged corruptions that's spilling out of our borders into international spaces, giving a bad look to the Bahamas. The only country that we have that we could call our own, ain't nothing else belong to us. We pray to God that even if you were in there for 9 days, that you can make such a significant impact that it'll be able to be spoken about for the next 150 years. So we pray your strength and pray that the Father watches over you and keeps you, guides your heart, your hand, your feet, stands in your body. He speaks with your tongue and thinks with your mind. You allow God to use you to deal with what needs to be done. Do it right, baby. We believe in you and we can trust you. Don't mind me scrutinizing you. That only to help you to get on track, to be reminded of the task at hand. Congratulations, my dear. I pray that you be able to do wonders. You stay transparent and you become a beaming, shining light for everyone who sits in this position from now to the end of time. Let's take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation. The Foundation with Howard Grant will be back right after this.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, no decals, reading my newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Here's a price list of some of the roofing material we carry at Pinda Enterprises. 5/8 pressure treated roofing ply starting at $36.68. Gray Select Water Shield, 134.20 a rule. Felt, £15, £16.50, £30, £19.80. Owens, Corning Duration Shingles, and CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon of roof cement, $33.47. All sizes treated dimensional lumber. And of course, we have all nails and all screws. We have 5/8 sheetrock, $28.76. Half inch sheetrock, $22.18. All prices include VAT.
Always on the go? Miss the show? Talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300 on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. The lines are wide open. If you want to be a part of the conversation, please do so. 323-623-3225-4316. 325-4259 anywhere for the Family of Islands, 242-300-5720. Or hit me up, 422-4796. Now, we started this thing off. And I'm hoping that we're starting it off right. I just want to be decent, right? I'm hoping that we're starting this thing off right, and I'm hoping that you're open enough to have this kind of a conversation. Now, let me hit you with the framework. The framework for the series is first and foremost, why this conversation is important. I don't know whether or not you took the time out to be able to do some reflection. I don't know whether or not you took the time out in this transitional time between one year and another, right? I don't know whether or not you've looked within yourself to say, make a determination over the past, 300 and some days, 365 days, and desire something more for yourself. I don't know whether or not you have made a determination that the stupor that you existed in, the survival mode, you need to be able to cut that off and get to a position for growth and development. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea where you are. I know that there has been opportunities. Like, whether or not you want to acknowledge that, whether or not you've keeping your, you're one of these people who every time you ask them, hey, Bala, how you doing, man? I read you're busy, doing nothing. Doing nothing. You're not unproductive. You haven't produced or yielded anything, but you're relentlessly busy. And you're only busy to be able to distract your mind from identifying the real issues. So you didn't take out that quiet time simply because you don't want to be able to identify and come face to face with the reality of who you really are. Let's talk about this. Let's talk like this. It's us today. We're in a small little circle, sitting from chair to chair, and the lines are wide open if you wish to share. Your story, many times persons identify these stories as something that's personal, something that can be have around the corner, around the bar, around a drink, and be able to share for a laugh. But these are testimonies. Testimonies to your survival, to your stickability. Testimonies that you can be able to speak life into someone else. So if you want to join me, I'd love you to do that. But at the beginning of this conversation, I'd like to be able to find out just the why. The why this conversation actually matters. Why is it important for us to identify forgiveness and deal with and find ourselves moving towards peace? Why? Well, I want to talk about this. It says unresolved issues often manifest in a form of increased crime and violence and fractured families and strained community relationships. Over the past 20 years, more 30 years or more in this country, if I'm going to be absolutely honest, since the mid-1990s, our country has grappled, fought significantly with systemic anger issues and violence, domestic violence, and other ways in our communities. We have been able to resolve conflict. We don't know how. This thing is bleeding into our schools. We've watched many children die by fighting in school, getting stabbed, so forth and so on, over the past 30 years in this country. Now, if you compare yourself to the way the world is and what's happening with populations of 350 million, 100 million, 225 million, 3.4 billion, if you are comparing the 300,000 people that currently live here on the city of Nassau, that maybe a third, almost a third, is a refuge. If you're comparing our community to what's happening in the wider world, I think we already start off on the wrong foot. And it says to me that you have no expectations of what can happen. As we look at these particular things, I have some issues. I want to tell you a short story, very short story. I had a very young friend when I was 14 years old. I want to tell this story. I just want to be honest with you and tell you. I may not give you his name. But everybody from 8 Mile Rock know who he is. He's a friend. Now, way back in the day, people would find places to stay. You know, single mothers had to be able to do the best they possibly can and move what. Now, my great-grandfather and my family always had, well, we always had property in 8 Mile Rock. So we had a couple of what we call barracks, right? So my grandfather moved one barracks. He jacked it up. And he moved it from one space to another. And when he moved this barracks from behind his house into another space, behind my uncle's house, into another space. They rented this barracks out to a family that came from Bartlett Hill and came to Eight Mile Rock, to Hannah Hill, to live in Eight Mile Rock. And, you know, there was two young people, well, it was four young people, but it boiled down to two young people and a mother, two young persons. One young girl, she was much younger, and it was so bad. Man, listen to me. He was, what I mean bad is that he was an extremely talented, bow-legged guy, curly hair, and he just didn't have a father figure in his life. And so he moved by us in this kind of a space, and we became friends. We have a basketball court right there on the property, everything, right? And this dude became like a brother to all of us. He was like one of the cousins, because it's like 30 of us, right? It was a bunch of us. And, you know, he just became a part of us. We playing basketball together. There's, anytime we eat, he eats, right? So he was a part of our family. The discipline that we got from our uncles or my grandfather or my father, he now is exposed to that. So he's exposed to being able to see a man in his life. And things started to change for him. And so he knew that I stood for something. As he grew, because he moved when he was around maybe about 10, 11, he came by us. By the time he was 14, because he's never gone beyond, I think he celebrated his last birthday at 15. He passed away, right? By the time he grew, he knew that we didn't stand for certain things. We didn't smoke. We couldn't smoke. I wasn't even, not that I wasn't allowed, I wouldn't allow myself to hang out with people who smoke, right? We knew about it. We knew about people who would smoke and, you know, Grammy them amplify this kind of, oh, God, you can die if you smoke grass like this, right? And so he knew what we stood, but he was wrestling with some stuff. And I couldn't help him. I don't know, we fall out and had an issue. And we hadn't talked for maybe a week. But we were such tight friends and such good friends that this was like a rough week for both of us, for he and I. But he was a fighter, and he was willing to fight me because of those particular things. And I didn't say anything. I was always bigger than everybody, but I didn't want to hurt him. I didn't want to fight, because I know he ain't gonna fight like my cousins. He fighting to fight. I don't want to fight like that. And so as time, this week ended, and I, you know, like I always do, I go to him. I said, man, listen, we call him Kelly. Let me just tell you that. So I said, listen, Kelly, I'm sorry, man. I love you very much, and I apologize about this. I just want you to know I miss you, and I miss hanging out with you. Just me and him talking, right? And he, like, broke down and started to cry. He said, man, I miss you so much. I didn't even know how to say this to you. I didn't know how to talk to you. Man, I don't care. Listen to me. And I was going to fight you, and I had a knife. And I all this he's starting to tell me in this sort of this thing. And if there wasn't an initiant to be able to present themselves for this forgiveness, if there wasn't someone to be able to say, hey, listen, this is where I stand, he would have never opened up to me. He started to smoke. He started to be able to do a great deal of things. And he lied to me about it. He lied to me. I asked him, why are your lips cracking? Why are your lips getting black? Why, what's going on with you? Why are you looking dazed and confused? Why are your eyes looking like this? We 13, 14 years old. And one night in his sort of, I think he was just out of it. I think he was high. We all think he was high. A car came flying in Hannah Hill, hit him above 30 feet high, and he landed on the edge of the pathway right there in the front of our house and my great-grandfather's, one of his barracks. There was a pathway in front of it. He cracked his ribs. He was gargling his blood, and we were crying. We prayed with him. We thought that he would be okay, and he passed away. I often think about him and think about the forgiveness that he lent me and that I gave him and that we shared in this kind of a space. And I think about, because of our unfamiliar spaces and not necessarily knowing how to do this, our fathers and our forefathers, our grandparents, these hard people who only know work, I never gave themselves the opportunity to be able to open to emotion, not in this particular manner. They don't know about this. And so this new thing that we're introducing to our society change our lives. I often cry and I measure my age and my growth by how I believe he would have been at this particular time. I loved him very much. He was one of my best friends in the world, and I really considered him a brother. He passed away when we were 14, almost 30 years ago, 30 years this year, 30 years ago. And I say that to say to you that there are some unresolved issues that we have that if we don't initiate it with the convictions that we carry, there's no expectation for others to do it. I think we have to be led by our convictions. I think we have to be led by these particular things. And I want to talk to you about that. Have you, in this space and time in your life, have you crystallized yourself in this? Are you an old dog that can't be taught new tricks? Have you built a callus around your heart and it's absolutely impenetrable at this point? That you believe that life is all of what you see and your belief of what it can be, you've rejected that. I want to talk to you about those particular things and talk to you about how we can get to a better space. I'm hoping that this series can be able to touch something to at least warm yourself or warm that external element around your heart to try to penetrate. Let's talk like this, guys. If you want to join me, you can do so. If not, that's fine. I can talk. Let me take a quick telephone. I'm a quick commercial break and be right back after this.
The foundation.
The foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The foundation.
This Christmas, Fidelity Bank is still the one. With one easy monthly payment, one fantastic way to save, and one chance to win $5,000 in extra cash. Make that move to Fidelity Bank and apply for a personal loan for a chance to win extra cash today. Call 356-7764 for more details.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
On Saturday, February 22nd, 2025 at 7 p.m., the Bahamar Convention Center will set the stage for an unforgettable celebration of 25 years of giving back and supporting healthcare education in the Bahamas. Experience a night of excitement with exquisite fine dining, captivating live entertainment, and an inspiring atmosphere as we come together to celebrate and shape a brighter, healthier future. Tickets are available now. Reserve your spot today by emailing dhfoundation@doctorshosp.com or calling 242-302-4640. Sponsorship opportunities are also available to show your support for this important cause. The Doctors Hospital Meyer Rassen Foundation, 25 years of transforming healthcare and building a legacy. Don't miss this special celebration.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect. This may be a little bit much for y'all. I'm not going to fight you. It's cool. It's okay. This may be a little bit much, and especially for a lot of our guys who often call in, this may be a little bit an area there's no beaten path to this. There is trees that are built over this. There is the path. You've forgotten about it. And many of you possibly never even traveled this road. I don't think that we give this kind of an idea of completion. I don't think we see our life in the light of completion when we execute these things. I don't think that you think of a complete time of this coming to an end, this life that you live right now, your health, your strength, I don't think many of us consider that when we're going through what we're going through. But this is a necessary conversation. And this is not a, this shouldn't be touch and go, easy, feely, let's identify the low bearing fruit and deal with those. And let's talk about the government. Let's identify the issues that exist externally all the time. Yeah, man, they have a problem. No. It's going to be a time. One day out of seven that we got to identify the tribulation that exists in us. Why you been drinking rum from you was in grade 8? You never ask yourself that. You too busy drinking rum. Why do you believe that you should be smoking from you was 12 years old? Why? Oh, there ain't nothing wrong with that. Over the years, you found a way to justify your cause, your position. You've even stepped into religion. You've made these particular concepts and ideas, not everybody, I just want to be decent. You've done everything to wrap your life around this particular element that alleviates your burden, that dissipates your burden, that causes that thing that you've been grappling with, that you've been fighting with, that you've been wrestling with for years. You have now modified your life and put that thing at the center. All because you don't want to deal with real issues. There's some women out here that have been touched inappropriately as children. There's some men out here that have been touched inappropriately as children. There's some people who their liberties have been ravaged. Some things have happened to them. Some people break into their house. They stole from them. They hurt them. They've done some things happened to you in your life. Oh, God. You don't know how to forgive these people. Some people have done some bad to you and you've gone before God. And you say, God, they wrong for what they did. We often quote God and say that we believe in Jesus and say that we believe in faith and say that we're on a lie. You don't know nothing about me. You don't know my relationship with God. You go through all these things. But people can say this based upon your presentation publicly. Had an opportunity to be able to go to church yesterday, and Pastor started a new series. I'm over at Bahama Harvest Church with Pastor Mario Moxie, and he started a new series, Fit to Fight. And the first 21 days of the month, he's taken the time out, like many churches, the church I was at prior, has always done this, and taken a time out for prayer and fasting. Just this kind of introspection and identifying where you are to get to where you're supposed to be. And at the end of the service, we had someone come up. And please forgive me, I don't remember what her name was. But she came up and, she was normally supposed to just kind of cut it from here and kind of transition. The sermon's over. So we cut the sermon from here. And, I hope you guys have a great week. Let's pray. And, it's supposed to be done. But she said something that really blew my mind. She started to talk about when she lost her child. She started to talk about how she neglected and rejected God for 4 months. She hadn't prayed. 4 months. As she deliberately didn't go before God because how can she lose her child? And then one day she couldn't take it no more and she screamed out to God, God, how you could do this to me? Why? And a quiet voice came back and reassured her about her posture, her position, and that everything is in his control. And now, she says 10 years later, she can be a testimony, a testament, and strength for this that happens to others. Sometimes we go through hell because we are chosen to go through hell in preparation to be able to pull some others out. But if we're so wrapped up in our own minds about the hell that we go through and the fact that you're supposed to walk through this now, you in hell walking around and pacing the floor. You're supposed to be out of here. But because you don't even allow God to permeate that callous that you grew around your heart, you're still living in hell. Let's talk about forgiveness, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk about us growing and getting to a higher place and really fulfilling our purpose. There is greatness waiting on the other side for us. And what's the other side? I'm not talking death. I'm talking the other side of a decision to lose some things in our lives. You got to let it go. We can do better than this. And I want you to join me as we take this journey over the next few weeks with various persons being able to come and speak about this and talk about how we can grow starting from within. I want you to do that, guys. I want you to be able to do that. I want us to be able to get to a better place and do some wonderful things together. Again, the news. There's a telephone call before we go to news. Let me take the telephone call. Call on the line. Go ahead. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Howard.
Hey, what's happening, my brother?
Happy New Year to you and your family.
Same thing to you. What's happening, Sparky?
And this beautiful Bahama land and everybody in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Howard, let me ask you something. You were just saying something about talking about these good things and things and stuff like that. You ever considered being a pastor?
No.
Hello?
No.
Howard, well, I ask you that because you normally talk about your family and talk about making money. Because you love money and you love things and you love to talk. So I think that qualifies you from a calling voice from God to be a pastor. Because being a pastor would qualify you to make money like T.V. Jakes and them.
Oh, Jesus. No. Smoggy.
Be real with yourself, man.
Me?
You love the money, pastor.
But what the money got to do with what we're talking about today?
Pastor Grant, I can't call you Pastor Grant.
What you talking about, Sparky?
You love money.
Sparky, how money even get in this conversation?
I can make money be a pastor. That qualifies you because that's what pastors do. They make, talk.
And make money.
Well, what do they do?
And make money?
Let's go back to the original thing. How did Jesus survive? By talking. He made money for talking. Miles Monroe made money for talking. Bob Marley made money for singing. You have your calling. Your calling is talking. You're the bucket mouth. So what you do is be paid for it, and then you don't have to come to Guardian every day for 2 hours to try to hustle a dollar. They're going to be bringing the money to you.
Thank you, Sparky. I ain't hustling nothing, though. I appreciate your telephone call. I don't know how money gets in this conversation. We're talking forgiveness. We're talking about penetrating that hard callus on your heart for issues that is unresolved in your whole life. I ain't got to be a pastor for that. I ain't never thought about being no pastor. Me? I don't want to say God say nothing. If I ain't sure, I got to be sure. And so I move with my convictions. Let's be decent. Let's take this quick commercial break, guys. Get the news and be right back after this.
The foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company. The Foundation, live and in full effect. Is this too much for you? Talk to me. Is this too much for you? Have we bitten off more than we can chew? Are we stuffed with this? Are you content with the fact that we've continued to be able to hit the rhythm and identify that external issues are the only issues that exist? Are you content with that? Are you good with that? Are you good with the fact that we are all collectively, from a micro standpoint, spilling out into a wider community to the macro standpoint, we are content with looking at the issues that exist with our brothers and sisters? This one need to lose weight. You think she should have come out the house like that? My God, why these people don't fix this house? You think they couldn't paint? External issues identifying the infractions that exist in our community with never looking at ourselves. Is that what we're doing now? Is that what we're going to do? Is that what we're going to do? I've been this person. I've been this kind of a I've taken on this posture. And I've said this to you before. I could never forget this. We came to Nassau, living in Grand Bahama. I told you this. I think I told you this some years back. But this is a story that I often think about. And I realized that I didn't know that this is who I was. I didn't know that this is the way that I didn't know. I had no idea. I was oblivious. I didn't know. We went to Nassau. We came to Nassau, rather, from Freeport. I was at College of the Bahamas. And we came on, come to check the, because I'm in tourism. So we came to do this kind of a fort thing, you know, check all the stuff and go to the various tourist locations. And we had a responsibility for kind of being able to do, the class wasn't humongous. It was maybe about, I don't know, 9 of us in the class. It was in a humongous class. And it was more women than men, nonetheless. And so we came over, it was like a day trip. Maybe 2 days, came over, and we came to one of the forts. And one of the girls in the class saw this. She was, okay, she looked like Precious, this girl, whoever this girl was. She looked like Precious. I could see that she was big, and she was dark, extremely dark. I don't know where she was from, but she was here in Nassau. Like, oh, my God, Jesus, you see this girl? I can't believe she, whatever, right? And she started mumbling. And I don't want to be in this because I know girl and I ain't into no girl conversations. But I can't believe that the first thing that we identify is negative on other persons. Subconsciously looking to be able to always elevate ourselves. So if we can be able to put someone under our feet, oh my God, we feel good. So she started talking about this girl. Oh God, I can't believe. So why does she look like whatever? And I said, I mean, out of just sort of a reaction. And this is what I, just assessing myself, this is what I've always done. I said, I think she has beautiful eyes, absolutely gorgeous eyes. I love her hair. I've always been a big guy, always. I only remember a very short time, that I lost weight and I felt, you know, like an entirely different human being. But before that, I've always been this big guy. I've always been bigger than everyone in my set. And I know what it is to be different. I can't hang around you if you're around here talking about people. I don't have the time for that. I don't want to talk about these people. I don't have the time. Because as soon as I leave, I know you're talking about me. So let me set this tune right. So I said, she has beautiful eyes. And she's the girl turns to me. She says, Howard, I can't believe you did that. You always do this. So I say, do what? She said, no matter what we say in, you always identify a positive to be able to pull out and have a conversation about these things. At what point are we going to start to digest, dissect, and identify the issues that we grapple with as individuals? We got everything to say, but Braves, Perry, Christie, this one, that one, who we believe is corrupt on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, who need to get fired, how this woman is a token. You got conversations to have that's relentless. When are we going to charge our atmosphere with positivity? And this ain't got nothing to do with these people, politics. I don't care about the politics. I'm asking you as an individual, when are we going to make an individual decision to change the way that we speak? When are we going to make an individual decision to change the path that we have taken that is comfortable, is familiar? When are we going to live to this kind of the end of the road and it's going to be far too late? Let's talk, man. Y'all playing games. We out here living real life. Real life. I had a conversation with my son most recently. I know he don't want me talking all our business and whatnot. I think it's important that we identify these things. I start to talk to him about this measure that we've had and how we as poor black people, to my Caucasian brothers and sisters and Conky Joes, I'm not excluding your poorness. You're poor right here with us. But I'm saying from... but I'm saying from my vantage point, this is what I've gone through. So I said to him, I said, listen, we've gone through tribulation. We've come from nothing. And we have a responsibility with the education that we have to be able to grab hold of this vision and make something for ourselves. We're nothing if we don't be able to pursue a vision. We're nothing if we live casually. We're nothing if we don't make a determination to grab hold of something and make it into something, not for you, but for the next generation that comes after you. I talk to my son, 18. You have a responsibility that goes beyond you, sir. It goes down to your children and your children's children. You got to decide what's right today. In the position that you're in. You can't wait till you're 35. You can't. We are too casual in our lives, ladies and gentlemen. We're too casual. We believe that we're going to have time to change later. But you already then solidified yourself in darkness. How you can change? You become an old dog in your ways. And Grammy them said, old dog, you cannot teach an old dog new tricks. My great-grandfather. Oh, Lord, I tell young people all my business. But these are the stories that shape and mold my life. So you can hear it. My great-grandfather was dying, passing away. He was 96 years old. And had all this mind about him. And... he was a former police officer. And all of us knew that it was a transitional time for him. All of us knew that it was time for him to go because he had stopped moving. He had stopped because he was, you know, he's always a guy who was up and down and moved all about. Very disciplined and regimented. Charlie Grant, my grandfather, Charles Grant, right? He was dying. And in this kind of a space he was living in, my grandmother and her sister, all her sister children and all us, was in his house on the Grant's property. And so we were talking to him. And individually, as people talk to him and ask him whether or not you're ready to meet Christ, this is what they're asking him now. They're asking him these questions based upon their exposure, their understanding. But our great-grandmother, Olive, mother, we call her mother, our great-grandmother taught us. We've been taught faith. You all teach your children faith. Your children teach us faith. Now it's time for you to transition. We're asking you if you prepared. That's what we're asking Daddy Grant. We used to call him Daddy Grant. We're asking Daddy Grant. Daddy Grant, you prepared? Daddy Grant sat down, very quiet and soft-spoken. He says, well, you know, I haven't done this for such a long time in my life. I feel like it's wrong to be able to do it now. I haven't done it when I was a young man. And I feel like it's wrong. Y'all didn't hear what I'm trying to explain to you. He has taught us religion. And now we're asking him in transition if you prepared in faith. And he is saying to us in real time that because he hasn't done this as a child, because he hasn't done this with his youth, because he hasn't practiced this, he feels wrong to transition and stand before God at the last moments of his life and said, Father, forgive me. I have sinned. He is willing to hold on to that, to own that, and step into eternity knowing that this is a decision I've made. You know why? Because you cannot teach an old man new tricks. You can't. Many of us believe that in due time and due season, I could change. In due time, we was young, getting in the churning in the car. We was young, getting into women in the 90s. So by the 1993, 94, 95, 96, right around that time, we start to become teenagers and we're looking at the way of the world. We like girls. Oh my God, this one getting busty. We used to play little ring play with these guys. We can't play like that no more. It's problems, right? We're getting older. You understand? And simultaneously, there came a conversation about HIV and how do you protect yourself. Yeah, everybody was teaching you about these things, to wrap it up, to bag it up, to use this, to do that, to not be promiscuous, to abstain, all these things. There were campaigns designed more specifically to go to high schools to teach you about abstinence. That was one of the things that, because of our faith in this country, abstinence was a forerunner. Most recently, I see people carrying condoms to school, which is wild for me. But nonetheless, it exists, right? Abstinence was the thing that we've been carrying to school. But the boys would have a conversation on the side. Lunchtime, we used to stand up right around the corner on the block, in the school blocks. And we say, boy, when we get girls, boy, look, let me tell you something, boy. And someone would say, boy, I scared, boy. Boy, let me tell you something. I like y'all so bad, I believe I can die from HIV. This is what young, naive, immature boys were saying about the idea to pursue lust and passion without understanding the responsibility associated with that thing that we pursue. Because we're stupid. We're young. We didn't know. We didn't know. So we say silly things and we sit around and we laugh at these things, but we mature, or rather, we grow in this kind of immature state. So now, many men are grown but still have an immature mind. They've never come to an understanding for these particular things. But I'm asking you today, and throughout the course of this series, whether or not you're willing to be able to step into that introspection, to ask yourself to not only forgive, to ask yourself to not only alleviate of anger, but to ask yourself whether or not you're taking those steps and aligning to what your expectations are in the future. Let's talk like this. What are your expectations for tomorrow? What are your expectations? I thought, and it didn't happen the way that I thought. I thought I could have 850 million women when I was young. This is the thought that I had. 850 million women. I could have all kind of women in my life. Ooh. Have all the fun I want. And when I get 35, 45, 50, and I decide that I had my fill of women, because this is how men teach you. Boy, go out there and sow your royal oats and this bunch of stupid things that they say, right? I thought I could have my fill and then decide to align myself what I knew was right from the beginning of my life. Yeah, God, I know that you exist. I know that I'm supposed to be doing these things. However, you see how fine this little thing is? Jesus, I can have to. Yeah, I thought I could do that. But, you know, life didn't have that for me. There are men that exist in this particular space and doing this right now. I ain't talking to men because I'm a man. I don't get in woman business. I don't know woman business. I talk to men because I'm a man. But I'm saying it to all of us because we understand that there is a linkage. There's a familiar thing that exists in this particular space. That we're making decisions because we believe that we are immortal now with all our faculties about us. With our health, with our strength, we could do everything. And take no consideration for tomorrow. I just want to be decent with you. I want to be decent with you. That doesn't go like that. Let's talk. this entire week, this is going to be a time of introspection as we lead up to Majority Rule Day. As we lead up to this particular time, it's going to be a time of introspection, and it's going to be a time of conviction. This entire year, you're going to hear me talking more specifically, not about politics, but about our personal decisions. For the next year and some, we're going to be able to talk about our decisions that we make as individuals outside of politics. Now, y'all can fight me because we can make some series, or we can do some things, or we can make a determination that some people need to be fired. But we don't have to wait for nobody to be able to put in a resignation, to hope, to hold our breath, to see whether or not these people are going to give themselves for consideration, whether or not the incumbents are going to find themselves in the position to be able to. We ain't waiting for that. We got to decide. We got to decide who we dealing with. But before we make an external decision, we got to deal with us first. Because you could change very superficially. Very superficially, you could change from one party to another that we've been doing all this time, but we still haven't dealt with the real issue. And you still haven't made the right decision. So let's talk about that. Hit me up, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796. Forgiveness sometimes requires separation. Abraham tell Lot, you go far, far east, and I'll go far, far west, or vice versa, and we be best friends. I get what you're saying. And the postpartum of forgiveness is not a part of this conversation. It is the inception. It is the approach. It is dealing with forgiveness first. How we commune as a family, as a community, after the point of forgiveness is not a part of this conversation. I agree with you 100%. Forgiveness requires you to separate sometimes. You deal with me wrong, I can't live with you. I agree with you 100%. 100%, I agree with you. But that ain't the conversation we having today. Some people are separated, never get to the point of dealing with forgiveness. You cuss your ma. You didn't cuss the people out. You ain't got to see them no more. Y'all live on one island. Every time they show up, you turn your back and walk away. That ain't what I talking about. I talking about forgiveness. I ain't talking about living with these people after. You ain't got to see them no more. But have you forgiven them? Have you had that conversation? Abraham and Lot had a very clear understanding that we're going in two different paths. That my convictions don't allow me to move in this particular direction. And as a result of that, you have determined that you won't stay over here. I got to go this way. May the Father watch between me and thee. Abraham and Lot had a conversation, and then there was separation. Have you had that conversation? Have you found yourself in the position where you could be able to look your offender in the face? Or you may have been the offendee. Have you found yourself in the position that you can look them in their face and say, I was wrong. I was wrong. Have you? Let's talk like this. And I'm hoping that this kind of a quiet silence, this kind of a radio silence that I'm getting from you, because I know it's the beginning of the year and it's the beginning of a political season and you won't be able to identify their infractions and what they ain't good for, but I'm hoping that this radio silence is reflection. I'm hoping that you at least are thinking. Think about the infractions and about the opportunities that exist thereof to be able to get back to a space. Come on, man. This is in your breath, ladies and gentlemen. your time will soon be gone. In 100 years, not one of us will be here. You hear me? In 100 years, we ain't going to be here. This will be gone. Many people may be gone by the end of this year. We don't know. Do what you can do now, today, before your time is up. In decency, I say that. In decency, I say that. We're going to have enough time to scrutinize the politicians and their lack of luck. We're going to have enough time to be able to deal with them and rake them over the coal individually and be able to scrutinize them step by step of what they could have done, what we expected them to do, and what we said they can do. But today is our day. The first month of the year, this is our seed offering for us to be able to rid ourselves of the seed of unforgiveness that has blossomed into love vines over our hearts. That we can't exude the love that it permeates, or we can't accept the love that's being delivered to us. Simply because of that seed that exists in us. We got to deal with this, man. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. What's going on?
All right, good, man. What's happening?
Everything all right, man. You got to love Sparky, though.
Yeah, I can fight Sparky.
You gotta love Sparky.
Yeah, yeah, I gotta love him. I ain't gonna fight him.
I love Sparky. I love Sparky. But when you were saying something about people being fired too, and you're talking about that, we need to hope you're not just talking about like MPs and different stuff. We need to discuss individuals and government agencies who fall down on their job too.
Let's be decent. We ain't got to talk about individuals and public service. We could talk about their position.
I'm trying to say we got to deal with them because wherever individuals have positions, when they fail, that other a great number of the public suffers because of their lack of doing their duty.
Yeah,
right? They can't be there.
Yeah,
you understand where I'm coming from?
I agree with you.
You know what I mean? We can't have people in here, but and also do Howard. this is a good little thing you're talking about too. You know, but I feel as if me Howard, I'm the kind of person. If you and I have a conversation, mm-hmm. right, and you say something or whatever, and I discover that I was wrong or you were right, I mean, you know what I mean? First thing I'll do when I see you again, I'll reach out to you and say, Howard, you know, they be talking about so-and-so. You know, that's the kind of person I am.
I always try to,
it's something in the least way, I try to correct it.
I like that.
You know, if you understand where I'm coming from.
I like that.
You know, that kind of way. But I feel as if to Howard, one of the reasons why we are that type of society is because of Christianity.
Mm.
The only forgiveness that people really care about is the forgiveness of Jesus.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm.
And in that, individuals feel as if once they go home and they say, Jesus, forgive me, that they are forgiven for all of the sins that they have committed. You understand where I'm coming from? We are not encouraged, even though the Bible tells you if you have some kind of, like, before you bring some kind of sacrifice or whatever, if you have some kind of disagreement with your neighbor, go and solve that first.
Mm-hmm.
We are not encouraged like that kind of lifestyle. We are more of the mindset that no matter what we do in our life, no matter what kind of trespass we have done against others,
mm-hmm.
that once we go on our knees and ask Jesus to make us wash us in blood, red blood, and make us white as snow, that'd be straight. You understand where I'm coming from?
Well, obviously, there's no studying to show yourself approved.
No, what I'm trying to say, though, is that there's still this, even if you are an individual, Howard, who has not spent much time in church,
mm-hmm.
who doesn't know scripture,
mm-hmm.
what you do know is that you could say, Jesus, forgive me, and Jesus forgive all your sins.
Mm-hmm. That's what you've been taught.
Yeah, I said that, but isn't that what we understand?
Yeah, that's what we understand. That's what we've been taught.
Yeah, so what we've been taught is the religion that we all know.
Yes.
Most of us know.
Yes.
And accept.
Yes.
You know where I'm coming from? And
you can't keep living in the outer... You can't live in the hallway all your life.
No, I'm just trying to say, Howard, that we have to deal with the mindset of the people. You can't expect people to have an ideal mindset who are not taught in idealism.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
And also, too, And also, too, Howard, I like how you talk about, around people who talk about other people, because that's boy attitude. And nowadays, society, we have a lot of men who kind of have feminine traits.
Yeah.
But they don't realize they do. You know, that kind of way, like, they'll be on social media looking for clout. You know what I mean? They'll be engaging and gossiping. You know, that kind of way, because you should never go around men and have them talking about someone else. You understand where I'm coming from? You, as a man, before you talk about someone, you go and you talk to that person. Do you understand where I'm coming from, Howard?
It's the truth. That's what I do.
Because if it's an issue that you feel as if you need to go and talk about to someone else, then you need to go talk to that person about it.
Yes.
If it's a problem, especially if it's a problem that an individual have that you are talking about, why don't you go talk to that person about the problem they have to try and solve it?
I agree with you.
You see, that is the kind of mentality that exists in African societies. Men will come together, and they'll go and pay a visit to the man who is seemingly in problems to see if they can help him out whatever issue he is having. You understand what I'm
saying? But that's where community comes in.
Yeah, but we don't know what that is, Howard.
We got to get to it.
Yeah, but we live in a culture, Howard, where one of our favorite
that's a favorite pastime.
So what I'm trying to say, so you can't expect people who have that kind of mindset, Howard, to automatically or to just shut that off.
But you got to know that you got to determine.
Because, see, Howard, the truth about it, too, is that some of these same personalities who on the radio sometimes, or not even on the radio, but in places where they try to speak about social issues and how we need to live with each other, right? They be partaking in the same things that they be talking about us too. You know what I mean? They be sitting home and they personal WhatsApp group, gossiping about people. You know, they're kind of like forming opinions about people they have never met based upon what people in these groups saying about them.
Wow.
You understand what I'm coming
That's from? Unfortunate. It's true. But when I get back, I got to take this commercial break, my brother. I thank you so much for your telephone call.
Yeah, you have a good day, Howard.
Yeah, man, thank you so much for your contribution. I really do appreciate that. But when I come back, I will talk about that. It's kind of the culture versus the responsibility. I won't talk about that. Let's take a quick break and be right back after this.
Foundation. The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
This holiday season, stay connected to the ones you love with Alive. Switch today and get 5 gigabytes of data free with your first 30-day plan. Whether you're sharing holiday moments or enjoying Junkanoo Bay, Alive keeps you connected all season long. Visit BeAlive.com to make the switch today. It's good to be alive.
At Burger King Nassau, when you have a big appetite, BK has a royal deal for you. Get a flame grilled double Big King Jr. or an original chicken sandwich, plus 4 chicken nuggets, small fries, a drink, and a fresh baked cookie for only $9.95, including VAT. The royal deal was built for a big appetite, and at $9.95, including VAT, it's a steal of a deal. Go big and enjoy the BK flavors you love with the $9.95 royal deal at Burger King Nassau.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation. We're here, we're talking, and we're just having a good conversation about where we are and where we need to be. I just want to be able to do that before I be able to move forward. It says, Happy New Year, Howard, to you and the entire Guardian staff. I'm an avid listener of your show, and today is my birthday. Happy birthday to Brian Cartwright. Brian Cartwright is Mikey's brother from down in Holmes Rock, Grand Bahama. I hope you guys are doing good, man. I hope that you're celebrating your birthday with sobriety and strength and being able to reflect upon where you are and move forward to where you envision yourself in the very, very near future, man. I hope that you guys are doing good. And I pray many, many more over you and your family from now and well into the future, man. Continue to be able to do well, my brother. Thank you for listening. And happy birthday to you. If you're celebrating a birthday, guys, in the month of January, I want to say happy birthday to you. You guys celebrate your birthday and do well. You know, Friday, we're going to be off again on Friday, so it's going to be a long weekend. But I'm hoping that you guys are good in these particular spaces. There's one thing I wanted to touch on. Our last caller said some stuff. He said some stuff. He started to talk to us about culture, who we are as a people, and about the rhythm. And culture has really destroyed us. Or the idea of culture has really destroyed us in this country. And what do I mean? We have, let's take from a constitutional standpoint, just like how professor will always talk about from a constitutional standpoint, we've allowed the culture of political organizations to get to their objective of winning, to be able to confuse us, to dissuade us, to distract us from the reality of what exists and the empowerment that exists within the confines of the Constitution. We've allowed culture to distract us from a constitutional right. Many of us don't know our rights, but we could always be able to talk about what has been done before and the culture of these particular things. Culture is a destroyer. Culture is a destroyer. Now, a lot of persons like to be able to amplify this idea of the culture of John Canoe, the culture of these particular things, but there's no essence. There's no life in these particular things if you don't really get down to the core of it and really be able to talk about why this thing is done. You got to strip this down. A lot of persons talk about the culture of Christianity in our community, which is, for the most part, religious. That's just religion. There's no faith there. There's no transformation there. There is only the perception of what this is or what this should be. And there is no real change. And you know ain't no real change. Because ain't nobody got no fruits to show you change in their lives. As soon as somebody show you fruits because of what they've applied in their faith, you hate them. He think he better than us, say. Show you fruits from the principles that they've learned as a result of studying their word and being able to apply themselves in life, and they move from one environment to another. That blessings run them down and goodness and mercy follow them. As soon as they apply their faith, their conviction to what they understand, you see change in their life, there's always hatred. Because everyone else is content with the culture. You can't get to real transformation if you continue to have this conversation about what you never knew when you was young. What that got to do with me? I never knew. Ain't nobody never teach me this when I was young. So you are a big gray man. Nobody never teach you how to French kiss the woman either. You learn that? I just want to be decent. Amen. Nobody ever teach you these things. Nobody teach Ray Charles to squeeze the woman hand, squeeze her wrist to see if she's big or she's small, touch her hand to see if she's soft and so forth. You learn these things with life. Our excuse can't be what we didn't know. Our determination has to be what we seek to find out. You have been the proverbial hallway of your fate for years. That's religion. you believe that you could come to Christ and say, Lord, forgive me, and you can enter in. That's what you believe. That's what you believe. That's your belief. But when Christ was transitioning on the cross with his last words, some of his last words that he would have said, forgive them, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's principle, man. That's principle. And every step of transition, you could identify that it has to be reciprocity. It has to be a two-way street. It has to be a give and a take. That's just balance. Life is only about balance. Giving, taking. Balance. And so I like what you say, man. I like your call. I'm not going to fight you for your telephone call. I understand that a lot of persons are in this kind of a posture in our society where they haven't learned some stuff. They don't know these particular things. No one has ever taught them these things. They are unfamiliar with this. That's it. That's the question that you have to ask as a man. Nobody never teach you. Many of us as young children. I was driving from I was 9 years old. I run my granddaddy truck into somebody's whole house. One of them barracks I was telling you about, the whole house. The trucks didn't have brakes. I jump on it, playing, put the thing in reverse. The truck keep moving back. I jump out the truck. I tried to hold it. I run in the back of the truck. I hold it. It ain't on, you know. But the house on a little hill. And the hill is rolled right into the road. And on the other side of the road is the house. I jump on the truck. I hold in the truck. I push in the truck. I run around the truck. I do everything. I was, in my mind, I was driving from I was a child. It's the first time I ever put the thing in gear. My granddaddy used to let me sit on his lap and drive when I was a little boy. Then I get too big for his lap. Then he let me come close and I drive from I was a little boy. Then it gone from holding the wheel. Then he say, okay, put your foot on the gas, baby. Okay, now put your foot on the brake. Easy. He teach me that. As we transition into this kind of a position, nobody never tell us these things. We have to learn these things for ourselves. I watch my uncles cut up with women and say some of the raunchiest things you ever come across in your life. I got one uncle there. They challenge each other to say stupid things to women and see if the women will laugh. I watched this my whole life. But I had to understand that if I wanted more than something superficial, I had to take a different approach. I go, man, just talk. We are men. We are men. You got to determine what you want for yourself. If you want what your father has gotten, which was nothing, if you want what your grandfather has gotten, which was nothing, if you want what your great-great-grandfather has gotten, which is nothing, then you keep doing the same thing. But if you want something different, it don't start by looking external. It starts by looking internally. That's the only question I got. Have you looked internally? Have you taken the time? Have you taken the time to identify these things and deal with it? We're talking about forgiveness, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about our posture. We're talking about our position. We're talking about growth. We're talking about development. We're talking about convictions. We're talking about, I'm going to take our time. We're going to take our time and dissect this and hope to God that something penetrates your heart. That if only five of us have made a decision to be able to go to our brother who have offended us and say, you have offended me. If we got to be able to get the elders involved, we got to be able to change. We cannot change the community before we change our position, our conviction, our hearts. Let's start there. We got to get to a path of peace. Let's talk like this, guys. Quick break. Going to be right back after this.
Foundation. The Foundation. We'll be back right after this. The Foundation. The Foundation.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Chicken lovers, listen up! Popeyes is serving it up for you! Get 5 pieces of juicy, hand-battered bone-in chicken for just $10. That's right, 5 pieces of Louisiana-style flavor, fried to golden, crispy perfection for only $10. But don't wait, this deal won't last forever. Head to your nearest Popeyes today and grab your 5 piece for just $10. Popeyes, where the chicken's always worth the hype. Available for a limited time only.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running.
But last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them children, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call a text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation.
Okay, guys, we're back. And just to wrap it up, to let you know what our expectations are about this, we're talking about this. This may be a little bit cringy. It may be a little bit much to consume. You may not necessarily be prepared for that, but this is just what it is. This is what's going to be. And I'm not going to fight you for participation, but I'm hoping for at least this posture that you have without being able to deflect. I don't want you to fight me. I want you to just hear me out. Hear me out. Just take your time. Let's talk. Even if you don't participate audibly, even if you don't participate in some way or another with your involvement, I'd like you to listen. Because I'm hoping that we could be able to plant something for the future. And with time, whatever it takes to be able to kind of feed that seed that we're putting in there with time, I'm hoping it blossoms into something different. I just want to talk like this with you, okay? So for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about forgiveness, anger management, and our path to being able to get to resolution, right? I'm supposed to be able to start some courses. I don't know who does courses more specifically, but I'm looking for someone to be able to kind of have a good conversation with anger management. I've reached out to one pastor more specifically. And so I'm hoping that we can be able to get a time to really be able to start some sessions and dealing with that. So I'm hoping that we can do that, right? So, but the framework for this is, like we talked about, unresolved anger often manifests in forms of increased crime, violence, and fractured families, and strains the community relationships. Forgiveness is both a personal healing process and a communal necessity, right? And so as it talked about, fostering unity and reducing cycles of retaliation and resentment. And some of the key points that we want to be able to emphasize throughout this particular thing is micro perspective. Anger on an individual level impacts mental health, emotional stability, and personal relationships. We got to be able to highlight this throughout the conversations. We want to be able to talk more specifically about how to resolve anger and how anger could damage personal growth and affect interpersonal dynamics. And then from a macro perspective, we want to be able to talk about the community-wide anger, often escalating into violence, crimes, and social instability. We got to be able to use a couple examples from our community and talk about where conflict and unresolved disputes have disrupted the peace of how our community has existed. So we're going to be talking about those things. We're going to be talking about crime and violence indicators and being able to showcase how a lack of forgiveness perpetuates cycles of retaliation and community mistrust. We've got to talk more specifically about how it disrupts or leads to long-term consequences, both at the family level and at societal levels. And then we get to talk about being able to take that path forward. And taking that path forward is that we got to equip our collective, equip our community with actionable tools for forgiveness and reconciliation. So we're going to have the professionals come in and give us these actionable tools that we could be able to keep ourselves accountable and identify how. The next thing we're going to do is introduce societal concepts and ideas through programs or initiatives aimed at fostering peace. And then we're going to be able to address anger management and encourage communal healing. We got to be able to do that. We're going to talk about family conflicts, right? And we're going to be exploring how disagreements over inheritance or personal misunderstandings can fracture families and escalate into bitterness affecting future generations. We got to talk about this. We know about these things. We got to talk about this. We got to be able to talk about neighborhood disputes. In our neighborhood disputes, we got to discuss cases of local disputes that led to ongoing tensions and how intervention with forgiveness-based meditation helped to resolve them. We got to identify a few of those particular things. We're going to talk about crime and restorative justice. We have to talk about crime and restorative justice. I'm going to highlight a story or stories that resonate more specifically with justice, where forgiveness played a key role in reducing repeat offenders and rebuilding community trust. We got to do that, right? And so our conversations throughout the course of this time is we're going to be able to hit you with a call to action to encourage personal reflection. That's what this is about. That's why I keep telling you about my personal stories. That's why I keep telling you about what I would have gone through as an individual. That's why I'm transparent with you to tell you I ain't perfect. My God, I forget I was angry as a child. I thought I didn't leave them things behind. Then all of a sudden it popped back up. I got to tell you these things so we could be able to encourage personal reflection. Where do you need to let go of this anger and these grudges? How can you contribute to a more peaceful politics? It starts with you right where you are. And then we got to be able to invite action. We got to be able to invite active participation. This series is about transformation, both personal transformation and societal transformation. Together, we'll uncover practical tools and inspiring stories to guide us on a path to peace. This is what this is about. I would love you to join me in this conversation. This is a caller I get. Caller, go ahead with this last couple seconds.
Yeah, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, Anton, what's up?
Right on, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. What's happening with you?
Right on, holding on to the grace of God. And good afternoon to the nation. You said that it starts right there with you.
Yeah.
It's more than that, Howard. Based on the conversation that you're trying to have, it doesn't just start on one front, and it doesn't just end on one front. Similar to the fight on crime, it has to have a multifaceted, pronged approach that starts on all of those fronts involved in the process. Mm-hmm. Similarly to this topic that you're discussing, politics has a great role to play. The home has a great role to play. Mm-hmm. Family has a great role to play. Community has a great role to play. Personal responsibility with the individual has a great in the political realm. Howard, do you ever contemplate or do you ever find yourself thinking on how we are in an era of just politics versus the era of the 60s, 70s, and somewhat 80s where It was a movement.
Where community activists existed.
Which involved the entire country.
Yeah.
Moving along with that movement.
Yeah.
Howard, we need to get back there. This is a party. Just general politics, Howard, the muck and mire and all that nonsense is one thing. We need to get back to a place in politics where we are moving the nation forward in a different stratosphere.
I think we could do it.
And all the persons are part of that movement. And it's not about simple.
I think we could do it, Anton. I don't think it's difficult.
Howard, I believe in 2021 that Philip Brave Davis had the ability, the capability, and was representative of the person who could make that happen.
In 2021?
Pardon me?
In 2021, you believe this?
I believe that. And I still have a belief in my heart about it, although I still have a belief in my heart about it. But Howard, we need to get out of the pettiness, the muck and mire of politics, and use politics the way it was intended to amplify,
yeah,
to exemplify, to empower, to uplift, and to move forward a nation as one.
Thank you, man.
God bless.
Thank you, man, Anton. I do appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we can do this. I think we can do this. I think if we're going to talk politics, if we're going to talk any of those particular things, that's fine. That's no problem. But I believe if we start with us and identify the infractions that exist with us, we can fix those things that exist externally. Let's talk about these things. I'm going to see you tomorrow, God Spare Life. My guest is going to be Ambassador Devin Rowe. We're going to kick this thing off right and continue to be able to move forward. Guys, have a beautiful day. We're going to see you tomorrow, God Spare, right here on The Foundation.
The Foundation.